Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Giants have been right there. So I can give you the glass half full with the Giants. They've been right there. End of games, Daniel Jones, interceptions. If they start finishing those in the second half, who the hell knows? You might have an unlikely playoff appearance for the Giants. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Jan. I'm glad you started there because hopefully they'll get Sterling Shepard back on Thursday night. It's trending that way. And if they do, then they get an extra weapon back and they're going to need it, especially if Darius Slayton's not going to play. Hey, you know, the thing is, I'm with you. I have been on teams that have been in this situation, and you just got to hang in there. You got to hang in there. And because the noise is so loud here, G, that sometimes it just overtakes a team and overtakes players. And I'm sure with the social media and everything, the players feel the pressure and intensity of a fan base that's not very happy. But if the coach can convince the players that they have a chance. Now, I don't think that Adam Gase can do that over for the Jets, but I do believe that Joe Judge can do that for the Giants, especially if you are the Giants and you are now watching the Dallas Cowboys and how they look. And what's amazing is I think Kyler Murray either had 8 or 9 completions last night, and Andy Dalton had 34 completions last night. And it just goes to show you what turnovers do to teams and how all of a sudden the momentum of a game gets completely turned around. And then, of course, when you have the jitterbug that is Kyler Murray running all over AT&T Stadium, it's impossible to stop him. And, you know, they saw that here at MetLife Stadium a couple weeks ago. But, you know, for me, I would go to that Giant facility today and I'd say, boys, we are in this damn thing. And somehow we have to beat the Eagles on Thursday night in Philadelphia. They are so banged out up. Their defense, their offensive line is just a mash unit. And if the defensive line of the Giants can control this game and get after Carson Wentz the way the previous defenses have gotten after Carson Wentz, you know, you got a chance here. You legitimately got a chance. And I know that sounds crazy, but you know what? Who cares if you're 8-8 or 7-9 and you win your division and you make it into the playoffs? Anything can happen. We saw that back in 2007. The Giants are basically dead. And then all of a sudden, the last month of the season, things change. They go to Buffalo. It's about as awful a game as you could play, but somehow they win that game, and they go on to win the Super Bowl in 2007. So, I mean, it's been done before. This franchise has done it before. And they can basically resurrect themselves from the dead here if they can win on Thursday night.
Yeah, and going to the playoffs still seems like a reach, and making a run in the playoffs still seems like a reach, but what doesn't is making this season interesting from a wins and losses standpoint, as opposed to what we talk about with the Jets all the time, getting the number one pick and going 0-16 and losing so you can reset your franchise yet again. With the Giants, it's a completely different deal. You want to see improvement from them. The Giant fans are not going to be upset if they start going down the draft board and up in the standings this year because they've been so bad for the last number of years. You want to see Daniel Jones be really good, and you want to see him win some games. So this is what I want for the Giants in 2020, is to be right there, to be middle of the season, you know, maybe even week 10 or later, and say, all right, we're still a game out of first. We're still 2 games out of first. We're still playing for something. And really, now I'd like to see how the Giants play the Philadelphia Eagles. But the Giants were right there against the Cowboys, and Dak Prescott played a lot of that game. Dak Prescott is not there any longer. And they got that game against the Cowboys in Dallas out of the way. I know you say that the home road thing is not as big of a deal, but I still think that there's something there, especially in Dallas where there are some fans. We'll see. They beat Washington, and we'll see now if they could beat Philadelphia. I mean, you can't convince me that the Giants can't be the best team in this division at the end of it. You can't do it.
Well, they barely beat Washington, but
they still did, though.
I'm just telling you, in order for the Giants to be taken seriously, It's one snap, one series, one quarter. One game against Philadelphia Thursday night. Now, you and I can look forward, and we could say, okay, this is what has to happen in order, I believe, for the New York Giants to make it and win this division. And I'm sure other teams are going through the same discussion as we are right now. They have got to win four out of their next five games. So they play at the Eagles on Thursday night. Then they come back and they play on November 2nd, Monday night, against Tampa Bay at home.
Yeah, that's going to be the loss.
All right, so then they're at Washington, and then they're at home against Philadelphia, and then they're at Cincinnati. So if you want to have any chance, in my eyes, to make it or even have a chance in the last month of the season to be relevant, I believe they have to win four out of the next five against teams that are dealing with a lot of the same issues that they're dealing with. So, you know, this is going to be, you know, Carson Wentz twice. It's going to be, I don't know, Kyle Allen. It's going to be maybe Alex Smith. You're going to see Tom Brady here. And then it's Joe Burrow. Because after that, you start seeing some pretty damn good teams in Seattle, Arizona, Cleveland, Baltimore, and then you finish with Dallas. So that last month of the season, starting, let's say, the last five games of the season, starting November 29th after their bye week, week 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17, you know, they got Cincinnati in there, and then the rest of them are all going to be jockeying for the playoffs, maybe even the Cowboys, for that matter, the last game of the season.
Yeah. So the Giants have to beat Philadelphia twice, they have to beat Washington again, and they have to beat the Bengals in those games in this stretch, because beating the Tampa Bay Buccaneers is going to be difficult, beating the Seattle Seahawks is going to be difficult, but I still think that the Giants could lose five more games the rest of the way and still win the division. I think that there is a chance that we will see a 6-10 division winner. After what I saw from the Cowboys and what we've seen, by the way, this wasn't just last night with Andy Dalton. That defense is miserable, absolutely miserable. So I can't see them getting it together. And Mike McCarthy seems totally lost. I mean,
what was he doing for a year there? Working
in a bunker with a bunch of old fired coaches trying to figure out the new NFL, watching all this tape and going, this is how we're going to do, we're going to screw up 2-point conversions this way when we get another job. I mean, he is miserable. And we talked about him coming to the Jets. I mean, you can't get any worse than Adam Gase, but Mike McCarthy's making his case. You know, I think that a 6-10 team could actually win a division this year in the NFC East. I really believe that that's what it's going to be. 7-9 at best. I do not think we'll see an 8-8 team win this division. I don't think it's possible. The Philadelphia Eagles couldn't even be 8-8 because they got that tie already. We might see, and we've seen 7-9 win a division. I don't think we've ever seen 6-10.
We've seen 7-9 win a division and win a playoff game.
Yep. But I don't think 6-10 has ever made it to the postseason. We might have that for the first time ever in the NFC East.
Well, that means you got to win. That means you got to win within your division. That's basically what that comes down to. You know, the interesting thing when you look really at the, standings and all of that other stuff, like the Chicago Bears, you look at them, they're 5-1. They're 5-0 in the NFC.
Yeah, and nobody thinks they're any good.
And they beat Carolina and Tampa Bay, and you know, Carolina and Tampa Bay may be in the mix for a wild card. Well, their offense isn't really that good, but their defense is damn good. And the Giants had a chance to beat them.
Right. I know. Another one of those classic Daniel Jones picks at the end of the game when he had a shot. I'm telling you, if all those things turn around, if Daniel Jones gets all of that out of him in the first half of the season, and those things turn from negative to positive, then you got something. I mean, this could be the only week where the Giant fan can dream. This could be the only week. So why not do it? You've got today, tomorrow, and then all day Thursday leading up to the game to dream, to feel like it could happen. So why not just totally buy in and feel like the Giants have a shot? And you could make a case. Like, they only looked really bad in one game, and that was against the San Francisco 49ers, where they got crushed, and it was Nick Mullins, and it was embarrassing, and we remember that. But every other game, they've looked pretty damn good. They were even competitive with the Steelers early on, who were undefeated. So I'll sit here all day. It's one of those things, like there's that meme where a guy sits behind a desk outside and puts out a statement and says, the Giants will make the playoffs, convince me otherwise. Yeah. That's the way I feel right now, this morning. I can give you a counter argument to everything about the Giants not making the playoffs this morning and tell you how I think that they absolutely can and believe it, too. And after what I saw last night, I can totally believe that the Giants could be the team to come out of this division.
I'm telling you, I was doing CBS Monday QB yesterday, and I actually laid it out that the Giants could win the NFC East, and the guys are laughing at me. And I'm saying, guys, they've been close in games. I mean, it's like their defense has been better than advertised. And, you know, I know that it's hard to think that a team that loses games because its quarterback turns the ball over, and they almost lost a game on a two-point play at home this past Sunday, has got a chance to win this division. But, man, that's how I'd be looking at it. And if I were the coach, I'd be doing everything I possibly can to keep my guys engaged. I mean, look. You know, you have guys at the Jets right now, both coaches and players, all looking to where their next stop is going to be. You know, you have coaches texting like crazy with other coaches around the league because everybody knows that this coaching staff is going to be adios amigos.
Sure.
And so now this is what's going on. This is the insecurities of this position, of these jobs, and what's going on, and who's trying to, you know, create their friendships, and, you know, where is their next stop? I mean, it's just... It just happens. It happens naturally, and this is just the nature of the business. So that's what's happening over at the Jets. You know, Steve McClendon gets traded to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and then all of a sudden, you know, guys like Jamal Adams, God works in mysterious ways. Good luck. You know, I mean, like all this crap about how bad it is here at the Jets, now all of a sudden is going to have to be turned around. So I was reading the article that was in the Post this morning maybe it was yesterday or this morning, Ryan Dunleavy, and he talks about the other teams that would be in the Trevor Lawrence sweepstakes, and he kind of analyzes some of their schedules.
Yeah.
And I don't know. As bad as the Jets have played, you know, could they somehow, some way sneak two wins in before the year was over and get the 2-14 and have somebody like, I don't know, the Jaguars – you know, maybe the Vikings or the Falcons, you know, not win another game, and those guys get to number one.
No, I don't know. I mean, the Vikings are far worse than the Falcons now after they just played each other, and I watched that game, and Raheem Morris maybe gives them some life, whatever it is. The Falcons are still talented.
How about,
the Vikings still have some talent.
How about the Washington football team?
Yeah, maybe. We got to remember how bad the Jets are. I mean, we're talking about teams that have won a game already. The Jets really haven't been close in any of these games outside of Denver, and that still ended up being a two-score game by the end of it. So I'm not having that conversation until the Jets show us that they can compete in a football game, and they haven't done that yet.
You know, the interesting thing for me is if the Jets actually get – well, anyway, the Jets get there, let's say the Eagles get there, you know, let's say the Giants get there. There's no way that they're not picking Trevor Lawrence. That would mean that Carson Wentz, Daniel Jones, and or Sam Darnold may be on the trading block. And then you got to say to yourself, okay, where would one of those players end up going? And my personal feeling would be like one of the first places I would think would be like Indianapolis.
That's a good one. I think also if I were one of those young quarterbacks, I'd try like hell to get myself to Pittsburgh because Ben Roethlisberger isn't going to play forever. Sam Darnold especially, who is a young guy, he can kind of relax, reset, look around, say, all right, I've got to take a deep breath here, maybe spend a year or two behind Ben Roethlisberger and still be in a position to be in the prime of his career and take over for a team that's always good and one of the best run organizations in the sport. That's a place that I would want to go. And Indianapolis is a great one, too, for sure. I mean, you got a head coach who was a former quarterback who has had a lot of success there. They seem to have figured it out with a good general manager. You know that Philip Rivers, also same draft class as Ben Roethlisberger, is going to not be there for very long. Those are two landing spots. If I were those guys and those agents, I would say get me to those two places for sure. San Francisco may be another one if the Jimmy Garoppolo thing goes really south. But that could turn either way. I could also see him end up playing well and that team catching fire again. Let's not forget that they were close to winning the Super Bowl last year with Jimmy Garoppolo before Patrick Mahomes turned into the Patrick Mahomes that we know and love.
You know, the thing is when you look at Tankathon and you're looking at the draft order and everything else, and you start going down that list of teams like we did the other day, You wonder how many teams would jettison the quarterback that they have right now for Trevor Lawrence and start over.
Yeah.
And teams that are kind of in the mix that have established quarterbacks, quarterbacks that have been MVPs, Pro Bowlers, and are maybe like 4 or 5 years left on their career, you know, you're thinking like the Atlanta Falcons. So the Atlanta Falcons, you know, this kid, Trevor Lawrence, is from Georgia. What would they give to get to Trevor Lawrence? That would be like a major shot in the arm, just like we're talking about the Jets. So we're talking about like the business of football and sponsorships and season tickets and things of that nature, parking space, anyway, everything that basically brings money into these teams. You got to think that any one of them get Trevor Lawrence and a new hot coach, whoever that coach may be, now all of a sudden you have something to sell. And I think that is a big, big part of the story for all of these teams.
So a couple of things. One, the Falcons and the Vikings are in tough spots with their quarterbacks and their contracts because you would think just cut them, move on. But the dead cap hit for getting out from under those contracts, the extension that the Vikings gave Kirk Cousins and Matt Ryan, who there is an out after 2021, but you got to pay $26 million in dead cap if you get out of the contract at that point, and then another $8 million in 2023.
But just remember, you're not playing your young quarterback, you're paying him because he does have a first overall draft pick contract, but it's not as big as it's going to be if he turns out to be great.
But it can be prohibitive, especially if you're already up against the cap. You know, if you're going to move on from a guy or bench him, that's going to be prohibitive. It is. Sometimes you can't squeeze everybody in.
I know that. But they will make the money back, believe me. They will make the money back in season tickets, assuming that we can actually go to football games again.
Right. The other thing is, you say, what would the Falcons give up to get Trevor Lawrence? There isn't a number that a team that needs a quarterback is going to accept to give up that pick. You're telling me that the New York Jets, if they finish with the worst record in football and the number one overall pick, are going to be listening to trade offers at that point?
No. I'm just talking about all these other teams, you know, that potentially end up number one as well. I mean, Jacksonville, if they beat the Colts week one, they should have never beat the Colts. Phillip Rivers handed the Jacksonville Jaguars that game on a platter. And Jacksonville looks like, you know, they don't have a chance. Even though Gardner Minshew is actually fun to watch, it doesn't look like they have a chance in any of these games.
Yeah, I know. They have – and they – well, the first couple of weeks they had a win, and then they were competitive for like 2 weeks after that, and now they've fallen completely apart. So I still think it's a foregone conclusion after 6 weeks. I'm sorry. But I still think that the Jets are going to be the worst team in football. There's no saviors at any point. They've got the worst coach. They're not getting rid of him. I actually think that they might have had a discussion to say we should keep him to try to get 0-16 because he's the worst coach, which just really shows you.
Honestly, that discussion.
I bet you they did.
No,
I'm telling you right now.
When you say they had that discussion, who is they?
That Christopher Johnson, Joe Douglas. If Joe Douglas might have had it with himself, but that thought, I'm telling you right now, that thought went through the minds of somebody important over there because they saw what happened with Raheem Morris and they saw what happened with Romeo Crennel and they remembered that Greg Williams, the last time he was an interim head coach, unless they fired him too, ended up actually doing pretty well with the Browns. I bet you that crossed their mind. Let's just keep this as nasty as possible, as toxic as possible, so we can get to 0-16, and we'll keep Adam Gase for the rest of the year. But there's no saviors. I mean, Breshad Perriman and Denzel Mims come back. You really think that's going to be a big deal?
Yes,
no.
I do.
I don't think it's going to be a big deal. The offensive line's still going to stink. You're not going to have a running game, and the defense is going to be one of the worst in the game. And you just lost one of your best players off that defense.
Yeah, the one thing I will say about Sam Darnold, even though he can't stay on the field because of injuries, he does have a history of coming back in the second half of the season and playing well.
He does. Back-to-back years, he's done exactly that. But this team is worse. And that this thing about this team is, as you said before, they're totally lifeless. So they're not going to be inspired by anything at this point.
I got to figure they're going to win a game somewhere. They're going to run into a team that is just basically decimated with injuries, and they're going to win a game somewhere. They may even win too. You know, you never know.
Like the Denver Broncos on a short week when they had a third string undrafted quarterback and they won the turnover battle 3-0 and still lost the game by more than two scores.
The problem is that everybody on their schedule right now, with the exception of maybe the Chargers, are all playoff hopeful teams, every single one of them.
They're going 0-16. We got to stop talking about this. They're going 0-16. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch it. It will be because it's that bad. You know, it's gotten to the point now where it's not boring bad. It's actually interesting bad to see how bad they can be. Like, you put on those games to see how far that they can dig themselves to the point. I mean, think about the next 3 weeks.
I know.
Bills, Chiefs, and Patriots. I mean, they are going to be, I've already decided, it's going to be 24.5 is going to be that spread against the Chiefs. They're going to be a 24.5 point underdog in that game against Kansas City, especially the way that Kansas City played last night, got themselves back to where they need to be. Think about that. And you're telling me there's going to be another team worse than the Jets this year? They're already on pace to have the worst point differential in the history of the game. They're on pace to be worse than the 1-15 Jets. There'll be a 24-point underdog in a game this year. And you're telling me there's going to be a team worse than that in the NFL this year?
What happens if the NFL has to pause for 2 weeks for COVID-19, kind of like the NHL and the NBA did? And teams are able to get all their guys back healthy and everything else. And everybody's
What guys are we talking about for the Jets that are coming back? Honestly, Breshad Perriman comes back. First of all, that was a controversial signing to begin with because he basically had like 3 minutes in his career where he was productive. He hasn't been healthy. He came out in the game last week, did nothing, was limping on the sideline. The other guy we haven't even seen play NFL football in Denzel Mims. What guys are getting healthy and coming back? I'll give you Mekhi Becton. I'll give you him.
Okay.
That's the only one.
I'm just trying to look for a silver lining. Would that be a silver lining, or would that be like a bad thing to have happen?
No. I mean, those guys have, if they have 2 weeks off, they'll check out even more than they're checked out right now, because they'll be like, oh God, this feels good, you know, to not play a game in 2 weeks and to not hear all the noise about how bad we are, and they'll get complacent. And then when they have to show back up, it's gonna be like, oh God, here we go again.
Yeah, there is a potential for the Jets. I mean, What is the worst team in the history of the NFL in terms of points given up in a 16-game season?
Points given up? I know that the worst point differential was the 76 expansion Buccaneers.
Right.
So as far as points, they're on pace to be worse than that, the Jets, and to give up more points than that team did. So I don't know about the there could be a good team in there, actually, a team that won 4, 5, 6 games, and I say good in parentheses, not 0-16, that gave up more points. But that 76 Buccaneers team, they were 0-16 team, and they had the worst point differential in the history of the league, and that's held up for a number of years now. I mean,
The Jets right now are at -110 in terms of point differential.
Right, which is pointed out by Pro Football Talk yesterday. The second and third worst teams in point differential, you have to add them up to get to the Jets' point differential. So you can't convince me there's a worse team in the NFL. You can't. It would take a miracle for them to win a game, an absolute miracle. And if anybody says, well, what if there's an injury and you go, I've already seen it. I already saw the Jets lose to a third-string quarterback, undrafted out of Boise State. I've seen it. So there is no scenario in which I can see the Jets win a football game.
Right,
I said it then, right after that game, I said there's no way they're winning a game. So let's see.
Do they have on any of these gambling sites, do they have coaches to be hired odds?
I don't think so, no.
Not yet?
I would have to look. If someone out there is listening that's a real degenerate, please send us those odds. But I wouldn't even know where to look for that. Like next coach of the Jets odds?
Yes.
Yeah, I wouldn't even know where to look for that. But we'll try. We will try. All right, it is Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.